And now we're going to turn to an age-old question with a new twist. Is there a fountain of youth? Something that could keep us feeling young and vigorous well into old age. My next guests may be onto something. They've discovered a handful of genes that, if altered in just the right ways under certain circumstances, can extend an organism's lifespan significantly. In a paper out this week in the issue of Journal Nature, one of my guests reports that one gene, when turned on, lengthens life by as much as 70%. Boy, we'd like to have that gene, wouldn't we? Now, don't get carried away because, don't plan your 100th birthday party on that, because we don't have that kind of gene that we know of or that we can get working yet, because this finding comes from not work that's done in animals, but comes in animals like us. They're in roundworms and yeast cells, not in humans. But their findings suggest that when it comes to how we age, we might not be so different from these much simpler organisms. Now remember, we share lots of genes with them. We're going to talk about, for the rest of the hour, how our genes regulate aging, what these findings might mean, these findings in the earth, in the roundworms and the yeast cells might mean for we humans. So if you'd like to join our discussion, give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Let me introduce my guests. David Sinclair is an assistant professor of pathology at Harvard Business Medical School in Boston. He joins us today from the campus at Harvard Med School. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Ara. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Cynthia Kenyon is the Herbert Boyer Professor of Biochemistry and Biophysics and the director of the Hill Bloom Center for Biology of Aging in University of California, San Francisco. And just last week, she was elected to the National Academy of Sciences. She joins us today from her office at the UCSF. Congratulations. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Just a quick reminder that you're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Let's talk about this research that's going on. This is fascinating. David Sinclair, tell us a bit what you found. How were you able to lengthen the life of these yeast cells?
Well, it's a very interesting organism. It turns out that yeast, like most organisms that we've analyzed, actually live longer when you mildly starve them, or this calorie restriction dietary regime that we talk about. And what we're able to do is actually try and figure out how this occurs at the molecular level and what genes are controlling this process. And the work that we report just recently identified a potential master regulator of this process. And so one of the interesting things about the finding is that when we got rid of this gene, we didn't get this extension of lifespan anymore. So we found that it was really important for that. But the other thing that really stood out was when we put in more copies of this gene, or overexpressed it, as we call it, we got a dramatic extension of lifespan. We got almost twofold extension just by putting in an extra few copies of this one gene.
Hmm. We're going to take a short break and come back and talk lots more about Fountain of Youth. I'm Ira Flatow, and this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about genes that regulate aging with my guests, Dr. David Sinclair, Assistant Professor of Pathology at Harvard Med School in Boston, Dr. Cynthia Kenyon, the Herbert Boyer Professor of Biochemistry and Biophysics, and the Director of the Hill Bloom Center for the Biology of Aging at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Kenyon, you study worms, not any worms, just roundworms, and you discovered genes that can be manipulated to make these worms live twice as long as they normally do?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. We found that when we change one single gene, what we actually do is we damage the gene so it doesn't work as well as it normally would work. We double the lifespan of the animal. So normally it only lives a couple of weeks, and when we change the gene, now it lives over a month. And it's very interesting. These genes actually, or this gene, encodes a protein known as a hormone receptor. And what that means is it's a protein that allows cells to respond to hormones in the body. And so this tells us a lot. It tells us that these worms age because there are hormones that make them age. Okay? It tells us that. It tells us that the aging process itself is under regulation. In other words, aging isn't something that just happens. Mm-hmm. It's actually speeded up by these hormones.
Actually, Ira, can I just jump in there?
Sorry. Sure, go ahead, Dave.
Cynthia's very modest. I want to just say here that Cynthia's a real leader in this field. What she managed to actually show was a real major breakthrough in the aging field. Before that, people thought that aging was just wear and tear, and what Cynthia's able to show with her colleagues is that, like she says, aging is regulated by very specific genes, and that's a totally different way of thinking about the aging process.
It is, because, you know, we have heard all these theories about wear and tear. We've heard theories about telomeres, things like that. Dr. Kenyon, are you saying that it's just a story about genes of the aging process, and all, even in humans, perhaps?
Well, these the hormones that regulate the aging process in this little worm are present in us, too. And the names of the hormones are insulin, which is a hormone that's known to regulate food utilization, and also another one called IGF-1, which was already known to regulate the growth process. So what our work said was that in this little worm, these same kinds of hormones regulate aging. And it's what happened after we made these discoveries is that people working on higher organisms asked whether the same genes might affect aging in those animals as well. And several years after our discovery, people working on the fruit fly Drosophila, a very popular animal for laboratory studies, they showed that the same genes and the same hormone system regulates aging in the fruit fly. And then, much more important, really, this just last December and January, two different groups showed that if you inhibit the activities of these same genes in mice, that is, either the receptor for insulin or the receptor for the other hormone, IGF-1, if you inhibit those in mice, the mice live longer. So it looks like this is a universal system controlling aging. Now, mice and worms and fruit flies, we think that they all evolved from a common evolutionary ancestor. And that same ancestor that gave rise to worms and flies and mice also gave rise to humans. And so that suggests very strongly that this same hormone system may be regulating our lifespan as well.
But let me just take one hormone, for example, that we all know, the insulin.
Right.
You're saying you kept insulin away?
Well,
from
you know,
them?
You see, what we did in the worms, what all these different researchers did was they lowered the level of the receptor just a little bit. Okay, if you completely take it away, the animals die.
Right.
You need these hormones.
So that you fine-tuned it little bit.
Exactly. But the results are quite dramatic. I mean, it's not just that these worms live longer, these animals live longer. They stay young longer. That's what's really cool. It's as though, you know, at the end, for humans, it's as though at the end of 10 years, you only age as much as you would have aged at the end of 5 years normally. You see what I mean? So aging is slowed down. So when the normal worms are in the nursing home, really, these guys are out on the golf course or backpacking in the woods, you know. They're vigorous and active.
Of course, Dr. Sinclair, everybody wants to know what your research with yeast will tell us about the mechanisms of human aging. Can you make these kind of claims with the yeast work, too?
Yeah, we can. Turns out that our work, people who work on yeast, this type of work is very complementary to what Cynthia does. And yeast, of course, we don't think they respond to hormones like insulin. This is a much more primitive organism. But if we did go back to the ancestor, it would be about a billion years old. But what we can learn from the yeast are events that happen at the single cell level. So what we're talking about in the yeast are very basic cellular processes that maybe actually control the production of these hormones that Cynthia is talking about. So they fit perfectly together, and I think one day we'll probably all come together and make a wonderful pathway when we understand how this all works. There are already signs that some of the genes that extend lifespan in yeast also work in worms, and possibly fruit flies even. So it's early days, but it
right.
looks as though we'll all meet up in the end.
Well, would you control the hormones, or would you or the genes that make the hormones, or would you just control the hormones themselves?
Oh, well, it depends who you ask. You could do either or both. The research that we're working on would be drugs or some sort of manipulation that would get inside each cell and change perhaps the metabolism or these longevity pathways.
Mm-hmm.
But with Cynthia's work, she could also find ways to manipulate specific hormones and then make ourselves live longer that way.
If
can I say one more thing?
Yes, you can say as much as you'd like. Go ahead.
An added benefit of this might be that you would delay the diseases of aging. There are a whole host of diseases like cancer and Huntington's disease and lots of different kinds of disease that occur much more frequently in elderly individuals. And these long-lived animals that age more slowly, they also get these age-related diseases when they're older. So they're not only just young, they're resistant to the diseases that would normally, you know, would be afflicting their contemporaries.
And you can tell that from a roundworm?
Yes, you can, actually.
No kidding.
You can, actually.
And no cancer and heart disease in a roundworm?
Well, what was done in a roundworm was a wonderful experiment from Rich Morimoto's lab. What he did was he caused worms to get Huntington's disease. He put the protein that causes Huntington's disease in humans into worms. And when the worms got older, they got Huntington's disease. And what he found was that if he put that same protein into the long-lived mutant worms, the ones with the altered hormone system, then they still got the disease, but not until much later. Isn't that great? It's really interesting.
It's Ponce de Leon stuff.
So, I mean, it might be a way, really, of coming at lots of diseases at once, if you could somehow perturb the fundamental process of aging.
Yeah, that's a really important point. Can I just add that, so calorie restriction also tells us that we could possibly have very beneficial effects on age-associated diseases. Often when I talk to, say, students, they'll come back to me and say, why would you want to prolong aging? It sounds horrible. But Cynthia's right. You've got the potential of not making people live longer in their wheelchairs, but really making them useful. And what calorie restriction tells us from the rat experiments, which were done almost 50 years ago now, what we find is in these rats, they are not only disease-free, but normal diseases associated with aging, but cancer is included as well. So we're not just talking about less wrinkles and maybe less heart disease, but cancer can be somehow suppressed in these animals. And imagine what we could do with such drugs if we could all somehow slow down the progression of not only debilitating diseases like heart disease and stroke, but even cancer.
All right, let's take it out of the ringworm and the yeast stage, and where do we move forward to bring this more practical? What comes next? Mouse? Mice? Anything? You know, what
happens? Well, like I said, sure. People are studying mice already.
Yeah.
They already know that the same pathway regulates aging in the mouse. It's early days, really. I mean, like I said, people just got the first results, the first really clear results that the same pathway affects mice, which are mammals like us, just a few months ago. And so now the question is just, you know, exactly what are all the molecules that are involved and how do they actually work? How might we perturb them? How could we perturb them without producing side effects? These mice have normal reproduction and normal metabolism. They look very healthy. So some of the mice, in fact, don't get fat. So they're very lucky mice. So it's looking good, but I think we really need a lot more research. And also, we don't know yet whether it is going to be the same in humans. We don't know. No one has shown that this is the case in humans yet. Hmm. It's looking, the case is getting stronger and stronger based on all these other animals. And basically, every time you have some process that you find happening in lots of different, like mice and worms and flies, it turns out to be applicable to humans.
And yeast.
And yeast, too, exactly. Yeast is very important. But
Remind everybody that I'm Ira Flatow, and we're talking about longevity on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.
But anyway, we don't know yet about humans.
Wow. You got everybody intrigued. I mean, it almost sounds like there's no downside. You know, as a journalist, as a pure skeptic, who has to play devil's advocate? It's got to sound like there's a downside here someplace.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't found it yet, is what you're saying.
We haven't found it in our yeast. we've been looking, but we haven't found a downside yet.
Yeah, but could you find it in yeast? That would mean something important to us.
Sure,
yeah?
Sure.
What?
Well, for instance, when I look at the lifespan of yeast cells, it takes me about 2 weeks under the microscope. And I get to know these cells very well. I know how they look and how they grow and how they reproduce. And they look, I mean,
marvelous.
They look great. They grow normally. You know, you might expect them to grow a little slower or something,
right.
Some sort of drawback, but we haven't found anything. They don't even seem to be sensitive to stresses. In fact, these long-lived yeast are stress-resistant, as far as we can tell. Of course, things might be more complicated definitely more complicated, but in the yeast, at least, we don't find a drawback.
Are these discoveries that you've made about the genes, are these patentable things? Is somebody going to own these rights to the fountain of youth?
Well, I'm sure somebody will be patenting these.
There are patents on many aging genes, but I think there are many different avenues of exploration, yeah. But Could I add something
sure.
to the downside? You know, one thing is, it's very interesting. If you look in nature, you find animals that have a variety of lifespans. Like, so for example, in the world of fish, some fish live just a few years and others can live 200 years. In insects, some insects live just a few weeks and some live, like queen bees can live, I don't know, 6 to 10 years. Birds, there are short-lived birds like hummingbirds, and parrots live 100 years. And mammals, it ranges from a couple years for a mouse to 100 years for, you know, for centenarian humans, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very interesting because that tells us that longevity had to evolve not just once, but many times. Okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was one starting mammal, right? Had to have some lifespan. And then during evolution, genes changed that produced all these different lifespans within the mammal world, and the same with birds and insects and so forth. So if you just think about these animals, these long-lived animals, they're not miserable. I mean, they're leading productive lives. They're happy. They have, you know, I mean, they're real animals. So there had to be genes that changed in evolution that extended lifespan without producing, you know, catastrophic side effects, or we wouldn't be here. So it's possible. It's possible, and you see it in nature all around you. It's everywhere you look. So I don't think it's so surprising that if we change these genes in the laboratory, we can extend lifespan without, you know, catastrophic side effects, because it happened in nature.
And are these the very same genes that we have? In our
that's the big question. Could it be that the genes that are changed that make some mammals live 100 years and others just 2 years, could they be these hormone genes? We don't know. And that's a really interesting question, and that's an active area of study right now.
Mm-hmm. Could there be other genes?
There could be other genes. There could be
combinations of genes, gene
absolutely.
Expression changes, you know.
Yep. Could be many things. We just don't know yet. But it certainly, these studies in the laboratory raise this as an interesting hypothesis to investigate, and lots of labs now are looking into this.
So everybody's torn up their other ideas about aging and now moving toward the genetic side?
I think it's really, it's a paradigm shift, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really has created a whole different sense of understanding and an interest in the genetics of aging.
Well, it for the first time makes it at least theoretically possible to manipulate lifespan and diseases of aging. Before that, let's say before the 1990s, most people didn't think longevity genes existed, and then, you know, we're dying for different reasons, probably hundreds of different things going wrong. But now that we have key longevity genes, we actually have a hope of being able to intervene and somehow do something about it. So Cynthia's right. The paradigm shift is happening around us right now.
So you're in the right place, the right field, at the right time.
Well, probably a generation too early.
You want to be born later.
Yeah.
I know, but you're the pioneers. Doesn't that make you feel good?
I think we're lucky, and I think we're really lucky to be working on this. It's really fun. It's really interesting. Fascinating.
Well, thank you both for joining us, and good luck to you. And please come back when you have some new results.
You're
welcome. Cynthia Kenyon is the Herb Boyer Professor of Biochemistry and Biophysics and the Director of the Hill-Bloom Center for Biology of Aging at the University of California, San Francisco. David Sinclair, Assistant Professor of Pathology at Harvard Med School in Boston, Massachusetts. Earlier we spoke with Ted Gavin of the SpamCon Foundation and Phil Goldman of Mailblocks Incorporated. Our program is produced by Annette Heist, Adrian McDonald, Senior Producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Berquist is our Director and Web Producer. If you'd like to write to us, why don't you surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, and you can leave us email there. We also have Science Friday's Kids Connection, which is information, actually school material, for you to teach classes and have your students learn from all of our Science Friday information. Also, you can download past versions, issues, copies, whatever you would like to call them, of the programs of Science Friday on your Audible player. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.